were very serious about being silly.
Welcome to Echotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. The voice you just heard is that of Danielle Thompson, founder and enchantment director of Random Acts of Silliness, an arts organization inspiring laughter and play in the Gallatin Valley. They build community by sparking whimsy and creativity in the young, and young at heart, through original and engaging art installations, theater productions, and random acts of silliness. As you will hear in this interview with Danielle, Random Acts of Silliness was the brainchild, or I should say heart child, of a group of friends in the early grim days of the COVID-19 pandemic in the spring of 2020. While so many aspects of community were disrupted and disconnected, they put into effect their beliefs that everyone should have access to art experiences, art that creates a feeling of awe through surprise, magic, or delight feeds the human spirit. Whimsical art experienced together creates a healthier, happier, more connected community. And laughter and play are essential for people of all ages. And art doesn't need to be serious. We spoke with Danielle Thompson in the Beyond the Deep End studios on January 31st, 2024. Welcome to Echo Tones, Danielle Thompson. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Danielle, for the past few years, you have been engaged in random acts of silliness all around Gallatin County. Would you tell us how this started?
This started early in the COVID pandemic, really in the spring of 2020, with myself and a group of creative friends twiddling our thumbs and needing a purpose and talking to each other, really brainstorming over Zoom about what we could do to give ourselves some creative purpose and also bring joy in a safe way to the community. We were throwing spaghetti at the walls a little bit. We did improv shows in people's driveways and in parks where we had people sitting socially distanced, even though we were outside. There was so much we didn't know at that point. And our first Fairy Village was a small neighborhood project with fairy houses made by families. People got so excited about that that I reached out to our friends at Gallatin Valley Land Trust and said, what if we paid professional artists to make fairy houses and put them on the trail to bring joy? And that was really the first big thing we did that just generated tremendous excitement, where it felt like we were doing something that was satisfying to us, but really needed and loved by the community.
What is a fairy house?
We definitely did not invent the concept of fairy houses. There are fairy villages all over Europe in particular and all over the United States in botanical gardens. And they vary wildly from repurposed plastic toy dollhouses or little tiny fairies toys that you would find to things made only with natural materials on site. So essentially they are places that fairies would live. So they are the scale of a 5-inch fairy is about what we imagine live there. And they have furniture and appliances and pathways and swings and chimneys and eating utensils all to that scale in their little spaces. And usually, traditionally, they are made out of mostly natural materials. They look like they should come from the forest.
And where have you done some of these fairy neighborhoods, shall we say?
Right. So we have taken the fairy house concept a hair further and sort of created a village, which we call Bumblewood Thicket. The story is that Bumblewood Thicket is in Glen Lake Rotary Park in the wooded area there all year round. But for a few weeks at the end of every summer, the fairies lift the veil of enchantment that hide the village from human eyes to share that delight with humans. So Glen Lake Rotary Park, if you know, you cross a little bridge over the East Gallatin, and there's a beautiful, twisty, windy, wooded area. And that's where Bumblewood Thicket is. And to your question, there are fairy homes there. Of course, fairies need a place to live. But you will also find every year a variety of fairy businesses and cultural institutions in Bumblewood.
I noticed that there are bakeries, for example,
yes,
because fairies need to eat and they like pastries and things.
Absolutely. We have the Brambleberry Bakery one year. Last year, Toadstool Tea House. There was a circus this year, the Cirque Familia. There is Shakespeare in the Bark. So all kinds of things that fairies have a rich cultural life too.
Well, we'll get back to some of the wonderful activities that Random Acts of Silliness has done in the past, and they are many. I mean, we're only talking basically 2020, right, is
yes,
when it began. So there's been a Bramblewood Thicket Fairy Village in 2021, 2022, 2023, and there will be one in 2024.
Yes.
And when can we expect that to be?
I believe the fairies will lift the veil of enchantment around August 30th this year.
So it's the end of the summer.
The end of the summer, okay, into the fall.
There are some activities that are going to be coming up very shortly here in the Bozeman area. And one of them is called Winter Bloom Lantern Parade. And it's going to be at the Gallatin Regional Park. That's where the Dino Park is, right?
Yes.
And that's going to be February 10th, unless the weather's too awful, and then it'll be the 17th. Tell us about this lantern parade.
Again, we didn't originate the idea of lantern parades. They have a very rich history from many cultural traditions, and there are communities across the world that have lantern parades every year. The Gallatin Valley hasn't had one in recent years, to my knowledge. I've been here about 20 years, and we haven't had anything like this. And this was something we saw other communities doing, and it brought so much creativity, so much light, so much color, and really brought people together to experience collective wonder in a way that's something we really want to do. So we wanted to bring this to Bozeman. So this parade will feature, we are estimating, around 300 lanterns. We have played a role in working with artists and community members at workshops to create some of the lanterns, but many, many community members are making them on their own. So we don't know how many people will show up with lanterns on the day of, but that's 300 is our estimate. There's also going to be music. Any good parade needs music. And since it's a little cold for traditional band instruments to play, the Bozeman Symphonic Choir and the Threshold Choir have agreed to provide choral music with a sort of a folk music emphasis during the parade. So the idea is it will be simple melodies, probably some familiar ones that anyone who's watching can join in and sing along.
Now, does one have to have a lantern to participate in this lantern parade?
No, we are encouraging everybody from the Gallatin Valley to come and watch. One of the reasons we love this park is there's lots of different access points, a lot of parking lots, and the parade will be visible from almost anywhere in the park. So we're hoping many, many people turn out and join us as spectators. Maybe bring a little camping chair, a little hot cocoa, some hand warmers, and just enjoy the show and get kind of carried away in the magic of it.
Now that's a big area. Where should people congregate?
We will have volunteers at the three main parking areas around Gallatin Valley Regional Park who can direct people to where the parade route will be. But essentially the route goes around the two large ponds. So if you walk toward the interior of the park from any of the parking areas, you should have a great vantage point for the parade.
And what time should people arrive on Saturday, February 10th?
If you are arriving, coming to watch the parade, a few things to consider. I would suggest getting there early, 5:30, 5:45, we do anticipate that parking is going to be quite full. So carpool if you can, or if you live nearby, walk to grab your parade viewing spot. We also want to emphasize the trails are not lit. It's a natural park. There's no seating or anything like that. So you should dress warmly, wear footwear that's comfortable for snow and ice. If you'd like something to sit on, bring that yourself. If there's no concessions, so if you'd like something warm to drink, bring that too. It's just a good old-fashioned, beautiful experience in nature.
And what time do you expect the parade to start?
The parade will start right at 6, and we will be staging it by the Dino Playground and then going around the two ponds. Hard to say exactly how long that will take, probably about 45 minutes.
Is there anything else you want folks to know about the Winter Bloom Lantern Parade at Gallatin Regional Park?
I would like people to know that they will see lanterns that are probably unlike anything they've experienced before. Sometimes when we hear lantern, we imagine luminaries or something small and handheld. Those are very beautiful, and we will have many lanterns like that. But we also are going to have a lot of giant lanterns made by professional artists and MSU art students. I talked to one artist this morning who's making a queen bee that will lead the parade, and she has an 8-foot wingspan. So there's going to be some really unusual and impressive, fun stuff. The parade itself is a special event that we want people to experience, but one of the reasons we wanted to do this is in this time of year that's dark and quiet, to give people a reason to gather and make something beautiful and find joy in that way. So I'm so happy to hear you all are doing that. And for people who are making smaller handheld lanterns, we're encouraging them to watch the parade from the park. And then if they want to join in at the end of the parade and walk, they can do that. If they want to be in the parade from the beginning, we encourage you to sign up on our website. There's a link for registration. That way we can get you all the details about the parade lineup and how the logistics will work that day.
May I assume then that you have had about 300 people who have signed up?
We do not have 300 people who signed up. We've had workshops that have made about 100 lanterns through Random Acts of Silliness. Everything from globe lanterns decorated with flower motifs to giant bitterroot flower lanterns to butterfly lanterns with flapping wings. And then I know the number of lanterns that the art students are making, as well as that are going to be made at workshops at the library this weekend. And then we have about 50 groups who have signed up to make lanterns. I just want to emphasize the parade is completely free and open to everybody, and want to mention that we receive generous sponsorship from Design 5 Landscape Architecture and Sarah Day Bozeman Real Estate to help underwrite the costs of putting this parade together.
And if people do want to sign up, how do they go about doing that?
On randomactsofsilliness.com, on our homepage, you'll see a large winter bloom graphic. Click on that and scroll through that page. That page has the map of the route information, details about parking, and sign up if you would like to bring your own lantern and walk in the parade.
There are other things that are coming up pretty soon. Random Acts of Silliness are going to be the opening act, I guess one would say, for the Shakespeare in the Park event happening on February 19th at 1 o'clock.
That is at the MSU Black Box Theater. And Montana Shakes has a performance for school-aged kids called Goofs, Gaffs, Flubs, and Fumbles. And one of our silly monster puppets, Roxy, who wants to be a thespian, she has aspirations of being a star, is getting to do the opening for the show.
Break a leg, Roxy. And then speaking of the Magic Monster Show, you have quite a few of those coming up on February 24th, March 23rd, and April 20th, Earth Day. The Magic Monster Show is going to be presenting at Gallatin High School.
Yes. So at the Earth Day show will actually be at the Earth Day Festival. This will be our third year performing at the Earth Day Festival. They are great partners, and we're happy to do that. But the other two shows will be at the high school. The Magic Monster Show is kind of our signature family show. It's a mixture of puppetry and improv. So it's adult-trained improvisers who get suggestions from audience members, usually kids, and act out wacky scenes live with live improvised music that really bring the kids' ideas to life.
Now, is that a puppet show?
There are puppets in it, and there are humans. It's a mixture. The Magic Monster Show is also free. The shows do fill up, so we encourage you to make reservations, to reserve a ticket ahead of time. And the themes of the next two shows, February, is Pirate Pandemonium. It's a very fun theme. And then the show in March is our Kid Takeover Show. So that is going to be messy, colorful chaos.
You can go to randomactsofsilliness.com to register for the free tickets for that. Another very popular event that Random Acts of Silliness has put on in the past is coming back, and that's the Cabinets of Curiosity at the Story Mansion, and they're going to be there from March 23rd to April 14th this year. Share with our listeners what that is. What are Cabinets of Curiosity?
Cabinets of Curiosity were popular in the Victorian era, where often wealthy people or people who had the means to travel a lot would collect fascinating objects, usually from the natural world, on their travels and display them ornately in their homes. So things like a giant shark's tooth, and sometimes they'd have old fish scales that they said were mermaid tails, or dried florals, things like that. We have put a magical twist on Cabinets of Curiosity, and we've asked Gallatin Valley artists to design their own curious collections, but that are magical, which means they could have been collected from this world, from other worlds, from other times. So people will get to come in. They will be welcomed into the fictional Raven's Eye Society that we have invented. That is the society of these magical collectors as they come into the Story Mansion, and they will get to explore these interactive cabinets of curiosity. So they all have an interactive element. And that's really for ages 5 and up. It's not the best installation for young kids.
Is that because some of the items are delicate?
Yes.
Yes. Many of your events are for even very young children.
A lot of our events are for very young kids or for all ages. People often see the name Random Acts of Silliness and assume it's all for kids, but it's not. We believe that people of all ages deserve joy and whimsy and play, and that is a core value of ours. We know, for example, at the Fairy Village, which people sometimes think of as a kid installation, 40% of the visitors came without any children. So that's important to us. We sprinkle pixie dust on anybody who wants it, regardless of age.
Let's talk about some of the ones that you've had in the past. I'm intrigued by the Cranky Fest, a mythical moving picture show, and that was in Beale Park Recreation Center in May of 2023. When I first saw Cranky Fest, I thought, ooh, I thought they were happy people. But what is a cranky?
I love the name because it grabs a lot of attention. So a cranky is an old storytelling device, and essentially it's a box of any size that has a scroll in it and two rods around which the scroll is wound. So an artist will create a visual story or piece of art on the scroll, and there's handles on the top of the box that you turn to move the picture along. So often there's a story narration as you move through the picture or a song that goes with it. And a lot of the crankies we showed at the original Cranky Fest had a lot of shadow puppetry as well. So it's a very old way of telling stories. And I think in our digital world, it is very captivating. It's an analog medium, but we found kids said, is that a TV? You know, that was what they could equate it to. And we're just spellbound. We do 45 minutes of performances, and you could hear a pin drop in the room watching these crankies and listening to these stories and seeing the shadow puppetry. It was really magical.
There's a light behind the scrolls, so it is illuminated.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Sometimes they're front lit. It depends on the cranky, but most of ours were backlit. And the Cranky Festival, I'm happy to tell you, will not be this May, but is coming back again in November. We're hoping to make that an annual tradition.
And do you anticipate it will again be at the Beale Park Rec Center?
Yes.
Some of the names, it's always dangerous to name one or two because you don't want to minimize the other ones. But just as an example, the Legend of the Snallygaster was one, and another one was the Sock Goblin. So one's imagination can go quite wild about that. So these are more specific to a venue thing. But the fantastical forests, tell us about those. Yep.
The fantastical forests are actually still visible and will be probably through the spring. They are starting to fade. They were created by a Missoula artist named Jill Logan and her son Riley, who's an MSU engineering student. And it's an amazing meeting of art and engineering to create an optical illusion. Essentially, their idea was to use the canvas of smooth aspen trunks to paint mythical creatures on a series of trunks, so that when you stand in one specific spot and sort of fuzzy eye into the forest, it looks like you're looking at, for example, a unicorn leaping through the trees. I want to say, of course, we love trees. Aspen trees are beautiful, with or without extra adornment. And the paint that we use is forestry paint that does not damage the trees at all. Traditionally, it's used to protect trees from sun scald, completely organic, and fades over time on its own.
Listeners can go to the Random Acts of Silliness website to see pictures of these.
We really love, in addition to curated events, we love to put the art out into the world that people will encounter when they're not expecting to find any art. And that will sort of shift them out of their day-to-day thoughts and into a more open and joyful place, even just give them a moment of joy.
Are you allowed to mention any of the places that one could find a fantastical forest, or is it top secret?
Well, they're mythical creatures. They go where they choose to go. I don't only have limited control, but I can tell you where they are frequently seen. And the website does have maps of locations where they're often sighted if people want to find them that way. There's a griffin in Graff Park often. A unicorn is near Riley's Bridge in Tuckerman Park. In Glen Lake Rotary Park, there's a fairy, of course. And a kraken in Valley Unit West Park. And a few more that I'm not remembering.
Well, one needs to just get out there and find them is really what it comes down to. I do want to spend just a little time talking about the board of Random Acts of Silliness, also known as the family. First of all, the names of the officers, not the personal names, but their official titles, are quite whimsical.
So I'm Danielle Thompson. I am the Executive Enchantment Director. My partner in running Random Acts of Silliness is Anna Vischer, who is the Chief Shenanigans Officer. Sarah Henderson, who oversees our theater programming, is the creator of Captivating Capers. And Kelsey Chernoggle is the ambassador of Wonder. And then we have three wonderful board members, Lander Cooney, the treasurer of terrific tomfoolery, Susan Riggs, the secretary of spectacular spectacles, and Maddie Pope, who is the member of marvelousness and amazement. We try to find an opportunity to play wherever we can.
Do you have board meetings, or how does this work?
We do. We are, for 2 years, been a 501c3 nonprofit, and the joke that we like to make is that we're very serious about being silly. So putting these installations on is a tremendous, tremendous amount of work. It is a labor of love, and we are so grateful to get to do it, but it is work, and we are a nonprofit. So we rely on community support to make these installations free. All of our programming is completely free to the community. That is very important to us. We want everyone to have access to joy and art and wonder. But we can only do that with support from the community members who are able to provide that support. So we do have regular board meetings where we talk about budgets and demonstrate our fiscal responsibility and do strategic planning, but there's always some silliness in there too.
Danielle Thompson, you've done numerous interviews, I'm sure. Is there a question that you're never asked that you wish you were asked?
Really good question. I don't have an answer to that.
Take your time.
Okay. I guess, why do we do this work?
Why do you do this work?
We do it because it lights us up personally on one level, but we do it because, as I said earlier, we believe that everybody, regardless of age, or race, or income, or background, deserves to have access to the arts and whimsical, joyful arts. A lot of traditional art spaces can be cost prohibitive for people to visit or can be intimidating for people. So we love putting art in unintimidating public spaces for free where people who wouldn't normally seek it out can have those experiences. We know about 60% of the people who came to the fairy village said they visited an art museum, gallery, or installation 3 times or less a year. So we're reaching people who aren't traditionally seeking out art. We know from research that being in immersive art spaces or visiting art installations makes people feel happier. It reduces their cortisol levels in their brain immediately. It makes them feel less stressed out. It makes them feel more connected to their community. And we want everybody to have that. And as Bozeman and the Gallatin Valley grow and change, it's really important we hold on to the things that connect us and bring us together and make us unique. And we feel Random Acts of Silliness is doing that.
We are analyzing the impact of COVID on our culture. Most of what we talk about or think is that it was a negative experience for the entire culture, not just individuals. So I wonder, do you think that Random Acts of Silliness would have ever come together had it not been for that cultural stop?
It's a great question. Of course, the pandemic was a horrible, challenging time that I would not choose for us to revisit. However, I do feel like grateful that Random Acts of Silliness came out of it, and I don't think it would have happened in this incarnation under any other circumstances. Part of what's unique about what we do, there are, for example, botanical gardens around the country who have very elaborate art installations within their paid walls. We were forced to do it outdoors and in public spaces because of the pandemic. It was a fairly unique model. And once we did that, there was no looking back. It's the only way that we want to operate from now on. So I do feel grateful for all the doors that that challenging time opened for us creatively.
Any final words for our listeners, Danielle?
I hope we see you at the Winter Bloom Lantern Parade or the Magic Monster Show or Cabinets of Curiosity. We have an amazing time and we can't wait to share it with you.
Danielle Thompson, thank you so much for joining us today on Echotones and for doing this wonderful work, these random acts of silliness.
Thanks for the opportunity to share about what we do, Joy.
It's really, really fun. Brightened my day, I'll tell you.
You have just heard a conversation with Danielle Thompson, founder and enchantment director of Random Acts of Silliness. You can find out more about them at their website, randomactsofsilliness.com. An ecotone is a transition zone between two biomes. It's where two communities meet and integrate. This program, Ecotones, explores the variety and diversity of the greater Gallatin Valley community and beyond, offering the echoing tones as our communities influence and are influenced by each other, bridging limits and boundaries and celebrating diversity. Ecotones is a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire in Bozeman, Montana, for broadcast on KGVM Bozeman and archiving at kgvm.org. You can find links to articles pertinent to this interview at forthright.media.